Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley, Episode 6. Produced and dramatised by Be Here.
Chapter 8. Nanui Senoturis. The Mysteries of Destiny. The hazy afternoon light gleamed on the lace of creeks that rolled their waters from the Averia Heights. The moors sighed in the wind. Far in a distance, Meldian shone white against the sky.
I can't believe he's still at it, for mother's sake, after all this time.
Annoyance swelled in Nisteri as he walked.
How utterly, unspeakably pathetic. Why would our teacher even choose someone like that? So lame. He should have made Farian our captain instead. Farian would have been much better.
With that thought, the usual needles of darkness pierced through him. Nisteri furrowed his brow and forced anxiety away.
No rain lasts forever,
Hegel muttered beside him just then, as though he could read thoughts.
Surely.
It wasn't clear what he meant, Farian or Tay. Or maybe everything at once. Nisteri looked up, suddenly weary.
I want the old times back,
he said with a sincerity he rarely let in his voice.
I guess I'm tired.
The old times, huh?
Hegel's gaze turned pensive. He thought of the academy and his family home in Severian, and his sweet little sister he missed so much. Oh, how he wished he could bring the old times back. And Tay, of course. The captain they once knew and the warrior they once respected. The old Tay. It was so stupid. So unfair. Hegel clenched his jaw as though some cruel fate conspired to rip away from him all he ever cherished. Every single thing. For no reason at all.
Right, that's enough.
Hegel cut himself off, then took a long breath to let those thoughts go. A warrior doesn't indulge in self-pity.
I just don't feel I can trust him anymore,
Nisteri confessed sourly.
It bothers me.
I know,
Hegel replied.
But we only have ourselves.
Nisteri snorted. Told off like a kid, huh? Very well. It was a reminder he deserved.
You win,
he said simply. Hegel was right. Hegel was always right, somehow. Nisteri crouched by a stream and pulled his bracelet up.
Wait, want some water?
He dipped his hands into the murmuring coolness, but then, puffed with surprise, curiously moved his fingers up and down. Some invisible, rugged barrier stopped him from reaching further.
This is weird.
Hegel turned around and squinted in the sunshine.
What are you doing?
There's something there.
Nisteri dug his fingers into the clear, crumbling substance, grabbed a handful and pulled it out of the water.
Ha! Crystals! Look!
He said, showing his glittering catch.
Pretty,
Hegel remarked, perfunctorily, his mind distant.
I wonder what they are.
Nisteri turned his hand and watched the gem slip back into the stream with a soft plop. He quenched his thirst and splashed water on his face.
It was a bad idea,
Hegel announced out of the blue. Nisteri gave him a baffled stare.
What do you mean? There was no poison, I'd know.
Not that,
Hegel frowned.
We've been foolish to let Tay go alone. We hardly know this world.
No way!
Nisteri slapped his forehead and slowly looked up at Hegel as the awareness of danger settled in.
You're right. Dor's sake, how come we didn't think of it there?
He shook his head.
This place has some odd distracting quality to it. Master Alzavir would... Never mind.
He broke off and got up sharply.
Let's go find him. I can't believe we haven't...
No need to worry.
Antares's voice suddenly said.
He will be safe.
Holy star!
They turned and looked at her uncertainly, taken off guard. The guardian stood before them clothed in white, blue and gold, matched with a golden circlet in her hair. A giant snowy tiger meddled amongst the layers of her robe. The stripes on its fur glowed green. The beast sniffed the air, then jumped in leaps towards the warriors, stopping only an arm's length away, teeth bared and ears flattened. A low, menacing rumble in its throat. Nesteri and Hegel instinctively rose their right hands for defence. They shortly realised their blunder, though, and froze midway.
Istse,
Antares rebuked the tiger.
Stop it at once. Oei Aeneas Tuni. Renemi.
She added in a foreign tongue. Istse lashed its tail, hesitating, then warily sniffed at Hegel and Nesteri.
Renemi,
Antares repeated firmly.
Come here. Don't embarrass yourself.
The tiger snorted, spun, and reluctantly returned, now and then cautiously glancing back.
Here. Much better.
Antares crouched down and hugged his neck.
This is Istse,
she said to the warriors.
Do excuse his manners. He's not used to visitors.
Seeing the two approaching, Istse growled again.
Shh, quiet.
Antares ordered softly, ruffling his fur.
They'll keep us company for a while. Be nice.
Istse twitched his ear, studied the minor stars one last time, then squinted peacefully as though he understood. Antares stood up.
Let's wait for your captain at the Maldaean,
she said.
As you wish, Holy Star.
Nesteri winced lightly at the mentioning of Tay. Only a shadow, but Hegel noticed it.
The Holy Star of Space sends you his greetings,
he said somewhat hastily to change the subject.
He appeared to have been looking for you.
Ah, Famaris,
Antares answered with a smile.
No, he came to meet you. He'd never need to search for me.
Hegel hesitated for a moment, watching the tiger trotting by Antares's side.
Would I be permitted to know why?
He finally asked.
We share a deep connection, all of us,
the great star said.
We always know where others are and what they do.
That would be quite a handy skill to have.
Nesteri mused, but soon changed his mind. He wouldn't want the rest to know his whereabouts at all times. But, on the other hand, he gazed up in the sky thinking of Farion. The endless search was slowly wearing them all down. He should ask the Guardian as soon as Tay was back, he decided, if Tay didn't do it first. Meanwhile, Hegel engaged in a gallant exchange of courtesies, thanking Antares for her hospitality, praising Largu, and generally being a cornucopia of Kuth. He looked so smug, as though calling to life old courtly phrases had been a treat he had long waited for. Istse came close, pushing his cold nose into Nesteri's hand. The warrior absently stroked thick, stripy fur. He remembered the words in an unknown tongue that Antares said to the tiger when they met. Curiosity flared in him.
Holy Star,
he said, leaning a little forward to see Antares's face from behind Hegel.
If you graciously allow, could I be granted a small piece of explanation as to the words you said earlier?
The feeling that he might have outdone Hegel in verbal prowess was briefly entertaining.
I spoke in Ae,
Antares replied.
I said you were my guests and friends. Istse understands simple words.
The tiger's ears twitched at the sound of his name.
Why, thank you,
the warriors breathed out, giving their obeisances in union. Being called a friend by a guardian of time would make quite a story to tell.
We are most obliged.
Praised be the courtly speech,
Nesteri thought.
For always being here when it's needed.
It made a flawless shield when one was not sure what to say, a perfect charm to banish any plight, it never failed. The ground was rockier now, and the grass scarcer. Here and there, large crystals rose from the streams, casting rainbow glares.
It was most fascinating to meet your brother,
Hegel said.
It never occurred to me that the septenary stars might have families too.
Antares looked amused.
Not in a literal sense, we don't.
Oh, how very awkward. It's just he called you sister when we spoke. I do apologise for my hasty conclusions.
No need,
Antares told him.
You see, all stars are brothers and sisters in a sense. The light that flows through us connects us all. This is also what makes us immortal.
Hegel frowned, visibly ruffled by her words.
With my deepest respect, I understand how this may be true for the great stars, but we are mortal still.
He opposed cautiously.
I've seen enough to learn that. More than enough.
It's an illusion.
Antares shook her head.
A dream of your mind.
But
you are not what you think you are. You maybe think you are your body, your emotions, your thoughts. The identity you've crafted for yourself.
Well, that and a soul.
No. Those are only reflections, faint echoes of your real being. Your true essence is light, eternal and unchanging. It stays the same as you go from one lifetime to the next. When your current body is no more, your essence will go on to find another one, a new vessel to express itself. It's like when you put on new clothes for a day. But it's still you, the same you every morning.
Asteri looked at her thoughtfully.
If that is so, why don't we perceive it that way? If it pleases you to answer.
Because you're not aware of it. It is your mind that cuts your continuity into fragments. When the mind is overactive, consciousness sleeps. With the minor stars, it happens often. That's why you don't remember who you used to be.
Used to be?
Asteri echoed softly, stirred by the revelation, his green eyes widening.
So that means that a star can't be destroyed?
Destroyed? No, but darkened they can be.
A fleeting sorrow veiled Antares' face, a shadow of the words left unsaid. Back at the Meldian, Antares gestured for the warriors to follow. They passed through the grand hallway, lined with white pillars, and turned left, towards an arched entrance to another hall. Green fire burnt in the braziers on both sides. Through the large latticed windows, the sunshine flooded in, shimmering on the stone floor and the brocade of tapestries. Asteri and Hegel smiled lightly. Even without desks and bookshelves, the place bore a warm tinge of familiarity, unexplainably bringing to mind the academy rooms. It felt as though they were back home, as though any moment now Master Alsvier could walk in through the door, give them a stern look from under his thick white eyebrows, and ask about their homework. He was a young teacher, hardly in his 50s, but his passion for knowledge, tenacity, and battle prowess bestowed upon him an air of gravity beyond his years. Asteri blinked to cast the visions away.
Does anyone else live there?
He asked, astounded somewhat by the magnitude of Meldian.
Mostly just me,
Antares said.
Although in my absence, Saki steps in to keep the watch.
Saki?
Asteri inquiringly tilted his head and his eyes swiped around.
She is a Quetzal being, a sentinel of sorts.
That explained absolutely nothing.
So this is what being tame must feel like.
Asteri mused with a sardonic smile, but then Antares spoke again.
We can meet her later if you're curious.
I am,
Asteri said frankly.
Very well. But first.
The great star stepped toward a rounded metal plaque mounted into the floor.
I want to show you something.
She waved her hand above the rune etched in the middle, and a column of brilliant light sprang from the polished brass, shooting up to the vaulted ceiling. Specks of radiance floated inside, brighter than bright.
Come closer.
The warriors did her bidding, their faces and jackets gilded by the glow. Both looked at the great star quizzically.
"Now touch the light,"
she instructed. Nesteri arched a mischievous brow, glanced at Hegel, and slowly stretched out his hand. As soon as his fingers reached the flowing radiance, gold streaks of light rolled through his hand, branching down into his arms and neck, widening. Nesteri hissed out a sharp breath of shock.
"Tay is totally missing out,"
he thought, roguishly. He saw Hegel flinching and jerking his hand back, but ordered himself to remain still.
"Control and focus. No emotion,"
he repeated mentally, staring at his hand. The filigree of shimmer pulsing through it was surreal, yet eerily beautiful.
"What in the name of lost souls is this?"
"The answer to your questions earlier,"
Antares told him mildly.
I don't understand,"
Nesteri admitted, lost. The glow had already spread further onto his chest and left shoulder. It didn't burn, although the mysterious energy that entered his body made him feel different, in a way that he struggled to put into words. More serene and powerful, perhaps, but there was something quite unsettling about it, too. Hegel tentatively reached forward again, this time with his other hand, and contemplated branching streaks of shine that rushed through.
"Holy star, what is this for?"
he asked in an undertone.
"To show you what your true self feels like,"
Antares said. The reply was silence and baffled stares. Antares glanced away. The mission was going to be a lot harder than she had thought.
"Your true essence permeates many levels of existence, of which the physical dimension is only one,"
she reminded them patiently. The warriors nodded, and she continued.
"Your core, the truth of who you are, is not your body or your mind. You are a spark of the universal light, a ray from that eternal radiance. The energy that created the universe also flows through you. It is what you're seeing right now."
That sounded intriguing.
"I wonder if..."
Led by an impulse, Nesteri dipped both hands into the radiant stream up to his elbows. The staggering force rushed through him, blazing, dazzling, so fervently intense that it made him jolt. He gasped and stumbled back, half senseless.
"That was quite something,"
he huffed. Streaks of light were fading from his hands, but the golden glow in his eyes lingered.
"Nesteri, are you all right?"
Hegel studied him with concern.
"Never have been better,"
Nesteri grinned.
"You should try."
"I do not partake in nonsense,"
Hegel scowled.
"You should have learnt over the years."
"Don't give up on yourself,"
Nesteri teased him, his radiant eyes looking eerie.
"You can change."
"For Deregi's sake,"
Hegel muttered through his teeth.
"And you can grow up at last. Holy star,"
he added hastily.
"I'm sorry that you have to witness this display of fatuity."
Nesteri snorted at Hegel, just like Tay would, but put his arm across his chest and bowed his head.
"Indeed, I do apologise."
"You did nothing wrong, warriors,"
Antares told him.
"A merry mood is not a villainy."
"Perhaps,"
Hegel replied.
"But I'd rather learn when presented with such an exceptional opportunity to do so."
"I was learning,"
Nesteri retorted defiantly.
"Just in my own way."
Hegel studied him again and then shook his head. He could never understand Nesteri's seeming indifference towards danger. Not even bravado, but the calm disregard, a deadly nonchalance with which he handled everything.
"How could we use this, Holy Star?"
Nesteri turned to Antares. His eyes returned to normal, to Hegel's relief.
"Remember of that power that exists within you,"
Antares said.
"It is what gives you the strength, tenacity, and wisdom to serve your mission. Connect with it in meditation, let it flow. The light is always there, whether you can see it or not. You can call upon it. Learn to feel it within and trust its guidance. Without it, you can be blinded by the shadow and fall into its ways without even knowing.
Hegel looked at her with grave determination.
I shall not let it happen,
he uttered solemnly like an oath, and Nesteri nodded. They walked for what seemed like a while, passing through a maze of bright halls and arched galleries, vivid mosaic floors etched with golden symbols and a magnificence of windows. At the back, another set of double doors led them outside to a grand, marbled pool framed with the rows of columns. The sun shone through them and scattered on the water. The oblong edges of the pool descended into steps that reached the bottom, gleaming, quivering in the play of light and shadow.
Saki likes coming here,
Antares said.
I can see why,
Nesteri replied. He fought a desperate desire to take off his boots and step into the delightful coolness.
She agreed to meet you,
the great star added.
Oh, is she here right now?
Yes.
Antares pointed to her left and up. A giant bird was sitting there amongst the archers, its feathers in the colour of deep blue with an opalescent white face. When Antares pointed at her, Saki cocked her head and then softly glided down. The inside of her wings glowed with streaks of cyan. Before she touched the ground, though, she wrapped her wings around, long feathers swooshing through the air, and suddenly appeared as a willowy figure draped in a long cobalt robe. Large bird feet with talons poked from under the hem, but the face was almost human, albeit emotionless and genderless, with straight blue hair that resembled feathers. Her large, sparkly eyes fixed on Hegel and Nesteri.
Lyarian warriors,
Saki spoke slowly, her voice as androgynous as her face.
Welcome.
They greeted her with a silent gesture of obeisance.
I've been watching over you, too, since your arrival.
Saki's narrow lips moved again.
You're always safe here.
Hegel thought back to his first day on Lagu and the blue feathers on the steps.
Thank you,
he said hesitantly, unsure whether the idea of being watched over was unnerving or comforting. The avian being opened her arms, revealing a set of thin golden bracelets on her gaunt wrists.
If you need any help, you can call on me,
she said with a tone of farewell. And as soon as that, she took into the air a bird again.
That's very kind.
Nesteri raised his voice to make his words travel after her.
Very kind indeed,
Hegel echoed, still thoughtful.
I've never seen anyone like that,
Nesteri said after Saki had left.
She's almost like a deity of sorts.
He stared intently at the water, as though hoping it would come to him if he peered hard enough. Antares smiled.
Go ahead.
She gestured towards the pool in an inviting manner.
Is that all right?
Nesteri flashed his eyebrows and grinned. He instantly pulled off his boots and rolled up his pants. Hegel followed him. They sat on the warm edge of the pool, putting their feet in with a splash. Nesteri folded his hands behind his head and his face took on a dreamy cast.
Who was she really?
He asked.
The Quetzals are an ancient race,
Antares replied, sitting down next to the warriors.
They have evolved to live on both planes at once, the physical and the spiritual. When their sun burnt out, they ended up scattering across the galaxy. Now only a few of them remain. Their lifespan is exceptionally long, though.
Why did she choose to live here?
Nesteri asked again, dangling his legs in the water.
She sees it as a debt of gratitude,
Antares replied.
I saved her life once.
Relatable,
Nesteri thought with a smile as his green eyes flickered towards Antares.
Pity we can't do the same. Not right away, at least.
They were back at the marble table on the upper terrace, cups of Madeirae in their hands. Late afternoon sun filtered through the leaves.
Unusual for a warrior, yes.
Antares was speaking.
As far as I'm aware, short hair in your tradition is...
humiliating, I know.
Nesteri finished for her. He glanced at Hegel, questioningly. Hegel lowered his eyelids for a silent yes, and Nesteri continued.
It happened after we got to Morionwe. May it be cursed by the seven winds. That heart... I mean, that girl we met there. My apologies. To this day, I don't know what it was she did.
But Tay acted like his brain had melted.
He went flat out crazy for her. Like, I couldn't believe. Possessed.
Mysteri shook his head and took a long pause.
Such an unspeakable disgrace,
he uttered slowly.
And he lied to us. I've never seen him like that, ever.
He took a swallow of Madeira and stared into his cup.
Maybe some dark magic. I don't know. She couldn't travel with us. Thank gods for that. But it broke our team. It ruined everything.
We never spoke about it. But I would assume he cut his hair as penitence of a kind.
Hegel chimed in.
He's never been the same since. His fire is no more.
True.
Mysteri echoed.
He's changed a lot. No longer the captain we once had.
Antares suddenly glanced away into the distance and nodded lightly.
Looks like we've summoned him back, she said. There he is.
They watched Tay run up the white steps, cross in wide strides the outer terrace, and appear, clutching a posy of pale flower buds, smiling smugly.
Check this out, team,
he boasted as he marched up to them, victoriously showing off the flowers.
Random.
Mysteri flashed his eyebrows.
It can't be what I think it is.
Sietri?
Hegel stammered out, lost for words.
Are they... the Sietri flowers, are they?
Tay's grin grew wider and smugger.
Yep.
What? They grow on Lagoo? Where? You have to tell me where.
Pretty much all around.
Tay shrugged casually.
I stumbled upon them on my way back. Mostly over that way.
He waved in the direction of the Averia Heights.
This is for you, Holy Star.
He added, offering his posy with a courtly bow. Playful, yet flawlessly performed.
Please accept it as our humble way of thanks.
How very kind.
Antares seemed perplexed, but somewhat moved by the gift.
She stretched her hand to Tay, and the blue silk of her sleeve slipped down, shimmering like water. Then, as soon as she touched the flowers, the strangest thing happened. One by one, the Sietri opened their petals, trusting and tender. Their pearly glow faint in the bright of daylight. Gentle shine lit Antares's face, reflecting in the crystal vase she created.
Sietri,
Hegel told her softly.
Only blossom at night, I've never...
His voice trailed off. Antares gave the posy a reflective stare. Her mind painted a vision of Tay, alone in the meadows gathering flowers.
No wonder these three ended up in trouble,
she mused. Someone else would have second-guessed himself in a world he didn't know. He would have wondered what's permitted and what's not, and likely shy away. But not Tay and his squad. They did what in their hearts felt right, and stood by it.
You are different. Truly, you are Sultarianese warriors,
Antares said, after a pause, studying the quarter as though she saw them for the first time.
You do what you deem right, no matter what. You really yield to no one, do you?
Not unless they are fine-looking.
Tay answered with a broad smile, the midnight sapphires of his eyes hiding an impish sparkle. He pulled out a seat and joined the rest without waiting for an invitation.
Tay!
Hegel gaped at their captain, shocked, not only by the glaring impertinence of his words, but also by the change. Too obvious not to notice. Tay's energy, that strong, effortless confidence radiating from him, that always ready to take on the world attitude. Hegel and Mysteri hadn't seen it for so long, they had nearly forgotten their captain was like that once.
The grief and guilt that stifled him were gone. Vanished as they had never been. The real Tay, the old Tay, was with them again by some unexplainable magic. Mysteri shook his head and rubbed the bridge of his nose, incredulous. It felt as though they were back in time. It was impossible. The past never comes back.
On Lagoo, it does,
Antares said mildly.
Lagoo is a realm of the past. Things that are elsewhere destined to pass find their haven here.
Ah, not again. Been taken off guard like a kid.
Mysteri pressed his lips. It had to stop.
This reminds me,
he said, pleased with the control he still managed over his voice.
What the Star of Space mentioned to us in passing.
Thought screening.
Hegel was going to ask the same.
Precisely. Holy Star, I hope that my curiosity shall be excused. I would keenly learn that skill, if you would graciously allow.
Very well,
Antares replied.
I can teach you how to do it.
She paused, then turned to Hegel and Mysteri, her eyes serious and narrow.
Now, both of you, enough. I bid you forsake the courtly speech. There is no need for it here. You are amongst friends, Lord Trethian and Lord Astarion. And stop annoying Tay.
She smiled, briefly.
Chuckles and grins followed her words. Only Hegel frowned. Lord Trethian. Nobody had ever called him that. With a startle, Hegel realised that, as the last in line, the title would indeed be his now. Father's face, his wise eyes framed by the net of laughing lines, swam up at him from the sea of memory. A strange pang of guilt came with the thought. He looked down.
The art of silence,
Antares spoke,
is the warrior's shield. Many paths lead to it. You shall learn them in time. Mantra is the simplest of all. Thinking without thoughts is one of the most potent. Practicing these would prevent the contents of your mind from being easily known by those around you.
Mysteri turned his Medaria bowl and glanced at Antares.
Is there a way to break through someone's screening shield?
He asked curiously and bit his lip to hide excitement. Being able to learn and ask questions again felt great. He missed having a teacher all these years, he reflected.
What you can do is down to the level of your strength and training. But there are easier ways of finding out what you want, and more subtle, like the pleriophoric field.
Like the what field?
Tay ruffled his hair, confused.
What's pleriophoric?
Pleriophoric.
Hegel corrected him.
It sounds like a cosmic library of a kind.
It's a good way of seeing it.
Antares agreed.
The plerofield is energy that keeps the information about everything that has or might have been, or that will and may be. All events, possibilities and choices are stored there as frequencies and codes. Using the power of the field, one could be omniscient if there was ever such a thing.
Why can't there be? Are there any data limits?
Mysteri quipped. The obscure jargon of the blue planet made Tay wince.
Well, yes,
Antares replied lightly.
The limits of your mind. Overloading it with needless details slows it down. But also, the path of knowledge is a warrior path. Few weapons are as crushing as knowledge can be. Its burden can deform and daunt the mind that is not ready. Also, for certain levels, it requires too much energy and effort to reach them.
How does one render himself ready, then?
Mysteri asked again.
Through meditation. Knowledge is very much like a sword of light. Formidable, yet deadly for those who fail to handle it. To bear the weight of knowledge, you need wisdom first. You don't want to launch yourself out blindly and drown in the sea of information. You need a set of bearings to help you navigate through it, to tell the truth from the noise. That wisdom comes from the unity with your true core of light, your essence.
Understood.
Mysteri dipped his head in gratitude. He looked across at his battle brothers. Tay's face was non-committal and blank, while Hegel's was growing long with frustration. He drummed his fingers on the table, wishing. A brown leather notebook appeared in front of him just then, out of nowhere, complete with a metal clasp to protect the pages and a sharpened pencil beside it. Hegel's eyes widened. Antares smiled, a magician's smile.
You're welcome.
The warrior slid his fingers down the cover, unbelieving. The leather felt cold and real.
I was just thinking how I'd like to...
He interrupted himself, sighed, and lightly bowed his head.
Extremely obliged. I mean, I'm very grateful. This is exactly what I needed.
Hegel took a deep breath. He wanted to avoid Antares's title, but realised he couldn't bring himself to the brazen familiarity of dressing the Guardian of Time simply by her name.
I shall treasure it,
he muttered, discomforted.
Thank you.
He opened the clasp, pressed the pages flat, and hastily scribbled a few words.
The Swords of Light,
Nesteri mused out loud.
I know of them from legends.
A vision of ancient battles and winged guardians, the tales from his childhood, floated in his mind.
So do I,
Tay echoed.
But it's said that they had been lost, or destroyed, or some such story.
He took the ewer and poured himself another helping of Madeira.
That's not true,
Antares said in such a mundane tone of voice as though she spoke about waking up in the morning.
No way.
Tay put down his bowl with a clank. His eyes sparkled.
I wish I could see one. So they are real, for real?
Tay. Nesteri snorted and bit his knuckles to stay silent. The laughter in his gaze said enough.
Very real.
Antares looked amused.
They serve their duty as they've always done.
Is that what the great stars use in battle, then?
Hegel ventured.
Only the sacred. Just a few of us.
And I heard,
Nesteri chimed in again,
that they weren't actually weapons. I mean, not weapons of wrought steel, but something else, otherworldly, immaterial. Not even the bards knew what it was. I used to think it was an allegory of sorts.
Should he ask about Far now? Nesteri glanced at Tay, and Tay glanced back.
That sounds about right,
Antares said.
About right?
Nesteri forced his mind back to the matter of swords.
They are not objects, just as your bards sang, but rather minuscule worlds condensed to that size.
What?
Tay gaped, momentarily forgetting all else.
No way, how?
His dazed gaze fixed on Hegel, who was scribbling ferociously.
How does this even...
Each sword of light is like a separate reality in itself, with its own consciousness. You know the law, I trust. The smaller the area, the greater the force. It applies there too. The inner pressure magnifies the impact thousandfold.
Hegel raised his eyes from the notebook. He tried to imagine the amount of power needed to contain an entire world, and the idea terrified him.
Holy Star,
he said in an undertone, his face betraying his emotion.
May I ask why? I wholeheartedly admire your patience in teaching us. I simply cannot comprehend why you are so kind as to offer explanations, even the secrets of the Swords of Light. I would have readily accepted if you said that it was not for us to know.
Antares looked at Hegel, his hair gilded by the fading sun rays. Over the ocean, the clouds were gathering, close. She poured more Madeira for everyone. The drink gleamed gold when the sun touched it.
Secrets are born from fear,
she said.
And between enemies. The light stars know no fear. Still, there are things I can't share before your mind is ready. For some discoveries, the time is not ripe yet.
So, Holy Star, you know where Farian is, right?
Tay finally voiced it, what all three had been burning to ask.
I do.
The day waned, merging into silvery twilight. A soft rain broke out, misty and whispering, kissing the leaves.
Is he?
A question Tay didn't dare to ask, but he forced it out. He had to.
Is he alive?
He is.
Thank light for that,
Tay breathed out. All three smiled, faces brightening with relief, the tension of the last few months dropping off. Tay threw his fist forward and the rest joined him, touching their knuckles.
The search is over, team. We made it. What a ride.
Antares turned a pensive stare at the young warriors, obvious in their joy, unknowing. She wished she didn't have to answer the question that would come next.
Holy Star, could you please bring him here, or take us to where he is?
Antares slowly got up from the table and stood by the balustrade.
It is not possible, I regret to say. Neither of those.
she said, contemplating the rain.
Why?
Tay snapped out, almost a shout.
It's doubtful you'd survive an encounter with him and those under whose orders he's serving now.
What do you mean?
At first, they didn't understand. Then, gradually, a terrible guess seeped in. The dark poison of fear. Tay jerked up from his seat, cold fire burning in his gaze.
Do tell us what happened. We must know right now.
Please,
Hegel added for him.
Very well.
The great star faced the quarter, their eyes bleak with uncertainty. They looked at each other for a long, soul-wrenching moment before Antares spoke again.
There was a reason why you couldn't find him on the Blue Planet,
she told them, leaving out the cruelest details. What happened after the fateful attack and Farian's last battle shortly after? They listened in startled silence. Hegel stared emptily into one point.
Light, is this true?
After losing his family, his battle brothers were all he had. He couldn't bear the thought of losing them too. Tay listlessly dropped down on his stool.
Far, you bastard,
he thought in a desperate spasm of grief and anger.
How could you leave us, brother? How could you? I will not shed tears. Must not shed tears, not now,
he told himself, clenching his hands into fists so hard that his knuckles whitened. Asteri closed his eyes, pressing his forehead against his interlocked fingers. Not for a moment did he imagine he would never see Farian again. They were doomed, they knew. As soon as they leave Largu, their end would be merely a matter of time. If they can't travel, they would not last long, and if what had become of Far would decide to come after them...
Is there anything we can still do?
Nasteri's voice was rough and bleak as the northern winds.
Anything?
Yes,
Antares told him.
A darkened star can be restored.
Then we will do it,
Tay exclaimed hotly.
Please, just help us get where he is and...
No.
The great star shook her head.
Going there as you are now, you would gain nothing, only share his fate. He wouldn't recognize you or know who you are. He'd see you as enemies.
No, Far would never. I'm sorry, I don't get it.
Tay rubbed his face.
What do you mean he wouldn't recognize us? We freaking grew up together. Light and all God's sake, surely when he sees us, he would...
No, he would not,
Antares said, firmer this time.
If the dark stars could remember who they are, there would be no dark stars. Blocking their memories is the shadow's way to keep them bound. The dark stars themselves are not aware of this, but they can't think freely. They make no decisions of their own. The shadow commands their thoughts.
Can it happen, though, ever, that they remember something?
Tay pressed on stubbornly, his throat tight with emotion.
Rarely. Very rarely. And even then, that memory is little more but a jagging thorn. The shadow spell is strong, and it is rare for anyone to break free of his own accord.
Tay dropped his head and said nothing more. Life seemed to be gone from him. Only grief remained.
Warriors.
Nobody moved when Antares came closer.
Do not despair,
the great star told them warmly.
Not all is lost. Your journey is far from over yet.
What do you mean?
Tay forced out a strangled whisper.
The future holds many keys to many doors,
Antares said.
Your life can be a bridge connecting worlds, a mission greater than yourselves. You have more power than you realize. If you choose to stay true to your higher purpose, you shall be able to get Farian back.
Tay rubbed his face. It didn't make sense what he heard, not a word. His mind was blank and too numb to follow. Silence was the only thing that all three craved now. Antares read that, it seemed.
Let's talk upon my return,
she said mildly, and was gone.
books to life. Vision without sight.